Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And man, is there a lot to go over. Could you realize yesterday's action? What a wild day. But you know, if you remember what we talked about yesterday, I said to you that if we got down to about 21.20, you might be able to see a little bit of a bounce off of that. And of course, we got down to 21.17, and then like a jackrabbit, took off for the moon. But I think that's more short-lived. I think what you're starting to see now is more of a pattern that's going to be consistent with the market. It's going to get ready to start to sell off and change directions on trend and start to go lower. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the markets. And once again, the Federal Reserve is at it again. It isn't bad enough, or they were dumb enough that they didn't do anything with interest rates on the Fed meeting. They had no indication in the minutes except saying, oh, we were so close to doing it. And then, of course, now we've got the attack of the Fed governors coming, or the Fed presidents coming out and talking so that they can try to continue to manipulate markets. But I think the markets are about fed up with the Federal Reserve and their tactics. I think everybody's finally realizing that there is no growth, there is no jobs, and our great president is just talking hot air. And when you think about it, I mean, again, when you look at the jobs that we created, which are very bad, you know, paying less money, you look at the number of people that are working, not good. So everything combined shows you that growth in this country is not very good. Now, their target inflation is a joke. Okay, you're paying more for everything, yet they want inflation. The reason they want inflation is so they can raise prices and have you pay more for the same thing, okay? Because inflation is like a hidden tax. And the only people who need inflation now are the farmers, because farm products, agricultural products, are on 10 and 11-year lows for cattle, okay? Now, I can guarantee you one thing. When you go out for your next steak dinner, they were in a hurry. When cattle was twice as high as it is now, they were in a hurry to raise prices. I guarantee you when you go back now, they won't be lowering them. You'll be paying, so their profit margin will be growing, which is, it's good for them. But I love how that works. You know, they raise to get them up, you know, even though the raise isn't that big, but they got to get you paying more so that they can, you know, get you. And then everybody knows that eventually prices will come down. And of course, their prices will never come down. And that's where they make the spread. And again, listen, it's business, it's the free markets. But why don't the commentators, you know, who whined about the EpiPen, and again, I don't support the decision of the EpiPen. You know, I did say that I felt they could charge what they want. They should donate them to schools, which they should. But this is supposed to be a free market society. You're not supposed to whine your way and the lower prices. So when a restaurant is making a billion times markup on the pizza I buy from them or the drink I buy from them, how come anybody's outraged about that? That's what I want to know. Okay, there's always outrage about something. So we have a cause, but in the meantime, they got fined and they went home. And of course, John Stumpf from Wells Fargo resigned, retired, whatever you want to call it. He got a real tough break, though. He didn't have the golden parachute. He only walked away with $131 million. You know, it's very tough. I don't know if he's going to be able to live to the size he's become accustomed to, but he's going to leave and walk out with $131. And, of course, Wells Fargo will pay the fine. And, you know, you'll have a little bit of clamoring, But I will guarantee this. After November 8th, you won't hear anything about it because the election will be over. And all this BS that we're seeing now with all these regulators and all these congressmen and senators that are running for office is they're trying to step on them. And you know what Wells Fargo's telling them? Not in front of us, but privately. You know what they're telling them. Use your imagination. They're flipping them the bird because they know that they're too big to be taken down by the bank, by the government. And this is always the problem that I have with the way, way too many regulations that we see in this country. Because now, normally, a normal person would be in jail, okay? And, of course, and be they might throw away the key, but Wells Fargo, they're too big, so they tell them to scratch. And they'll pay their fine. They'll make a lot of money even though, and it'll be over. And that's the interesting part of how the whole mechanics of the whole system work, okay? When you're too big, they don't come after you. When you're not too big, they beat on you. They beat you into submission, so you have to pay the fine or whatever. Now, and I mean, the perfect example of that is going on right now as we speak with who? Hillary Clinton. Okay? Hillary Clinton right now is a known, you know, I'm not going to call her a criminal because I don't have proof, but I mean, there's enough proof out there. But yet, she's running for president. And not only is she running for president, now you all know that I do like to wager occasionally, but the new odds on the presidential election, Hillary Clinton is now a 1-5 favorite, which means if you put up at the 100, you can win 20. Obviously, we would never make that bet. And of course, you know, it's a silly bet because I don't think she's that big. I think that would be in the business an overlay because I don't think she's that big of a favorite, number one. I don't even think she's going to win, number two. In fact, I would bet the other side. But all that being said, okay, here she is, the favorite, the overwhelming favorite to be the next president of the United States of America. Now, if you look at the things she's done, I mean, she is to politics what Lance Armstrong was to sports or cycling, because she beat into submission emotionally and mentally all of the people that her husband took advantage of. But yet, there she is. And there she is condemning Donald Trump for his what he called his locker room talk. And there she is doing all the things. And it's amazing how everybody just randomly forgives her. Now, the interesting thing is about politics, if you're on the right, then whoever's on the right, whatever they do, it's okay. Even if it's wrong, it's okay. And if you're on the left, whatever they do on the left, it's okay. Now, the thing is, really, I mean, when did it become so lopsided to one side that you forgive people for doing things that are unbelievable? And not only that, but there are people that are so emotional about the election. When you look at both parties, what do you really have? Okay? You got a bunch of trouble. Okay? So, but it is amazing how people defend their party. And hey, listen, that's why we live in America. That's the freedom of choice. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. I think it's fine, you know. I think that you have to just, you know, understand what you're getting when you get it and know what you bought, okay? And that's where I think a lot of us make the mistake is we don't kind of do a better check under the hood. But, you know, like I said, it is what it is. There's a lot going on. And, of course, it is kind of fun to see the version of Donald Trump unshackled. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I'm Todd Bubba Horowitz. And make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. And download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. And if you're interested, tomorrow, Saturday, starts the last hedging class of 2016. And I'm donating half of the proceeds to the high school program. So if you want to check it out, go to it. But tomorrow is the last day of the hedging class. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to stop out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
It's the time of the season.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you on this glorious Friday, and we're narrowing down, getting closer to election. We've got earnings coming out, and wouldn't you know it, we're having another bad start to the third quarter earnings. And it reminds me, for the last 5 or 6 years, they kept telling me that the second half of the year is going to be better. You know, the second half of the year is like tomorrow. It never gets here. So my real question is when is everybody going to wake up and smell the coffee, as they say, and realize that the economy sucks, okay? When are we going to realize that the process that we're under right now, which is the Federal Reserve controlling the money and these ridiculous bank stress tests, you know, I think I talked about this yesterday, but the EU, now this is only rumor, but I read it, but I don't have a factual basis, but I would not be surprised. How's that? The stress test that our banks are supposed to take. They supposedly did not pass the stress test, but the EU gave them like a free pass, basically, because they're too big to fail. Now, would anybody out there be surprised if any of the banks in the United States of America got a pass from somebody and didn't quite measure up to the stress test? I can't imagine anybody would. Now, what's really interesting is, now, I would say Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Chase, any of the big 11, okay, or whatever there is, they could get a pass. But if you were a smaller bank and you didn't measure up, man, they'd kick you out of business. Why? Because one of the big guys would swallow you up and take away everything. It is an amazing picture when you look at it. And what's more amazing is that we make this, we continue to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. Just like the chart patterns repeat over and over again, sort of the mistakes that are made by the Fed, by the government. I mean, what is the biggest issue in today's country? Okay? The biggest issue is debt. We have too much debt. Okay? Individually, we have too much debt. Collectively, we have too much debt. And certainly, the government has too much debt. And I can't verify this number, but I understand the way I understood it. The global GDP is like 225% over. So, in other words, we're negative. We're negative by double. Okay, and again, I can't verify that. What I can verify is our debt to GDP is about 50%. And that's also at a 0% interest. So what happens when interest rates go up? Well, I guess our debt structure is going to be a little bit higher. And you can see that the bond market is already pushing up the markets a little bit interest rate-wise. And you can see a lot of the problems. So when do they wake up and smell the coffee and say, hey, you know, we need to do something a little bit different here. We need to really look at the overall economy and figure out a better way, because the way we're doing it is not working very good. Okay? I mean, we're 8 years into this recovery, okay, and people are not making enough money. We're 8 years in. Yeah, the stock market is at record highs. God bless America. Okay? But, you know, raise your hands if you're in the stock market. I mean, because there's not a huge percentage of people that are in the market, okay, and more people are concerned about the interest rates and the bank lending, which the two key cogs, fixed income, which is the big market, which is the bond market, interest rates, and banks, which is borrowing money, is the two biggest things that we're lacking. You cannot borrow money right now because the banks won't provide liquidity. Now, we've seen some pressure in the markets over the last few days, and it is being blamed on, and legitimately so, but before I tell you what it's being blamed on, we all know that the markets are probably maybe just a little bit extended, Okay? You know, I believe that this is the longest, bull market in history. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it's the longest bull market in history. So now we have a market that is continuing to run up, but yet we can't pay bills. We can't do anything. And it's not even that big of a market. So is it really that important that the Federal Reserve manipulates the stock market when they should be manipulating the fixed income market? Because that is the market that needs the most. Now, one of the key signs that we're seeing here is, I think it's like almost every day, another one of these peer-to-peer lending groups open up, okay, which is fine, okay, except that when you continue to see these things pop up, what does that usually mean? Usually means that we're getting near the end of that cycle. Again, let's be clear, okay? I believe there's going to be a bear market. I believe there's going to be a market collapse, okay? But I also believe that, you know, after it's done, you know, whatever the time frame it is, you know, 10 years after, the market will be up 9% year over year, okay? So, again, there is no greater investment if you can manage it. So what was the thing that we're going to tell you, that, why I think there's so much unease and uncertainty? I think the biggest problem, potentially, okay, or at least this is what the street is thinking. I haven't really thought about it because I watched the footprint of the market and I'm not as interested in it. But if Hillary Clinton is as big of a favorite as it shows, which I don't believe that either, okay, but if it is true, then there's a good chance that the Senate could not only, that the Republicans could not only lose the presidency, but they could lose the House and the Senate, which would be obviously awful. Because then what's going to happen with this, with all the Supreme Court justices, the whole, it's going to be a mess, okay? But that is a very real possibility, which is causing some unease, because no government works well when one party has total control, whether it be all Republican or all Democratic, okay? There needs to be a better set of checks and balances. We need the set of checks and balances that were put in initially. Not the ones we go by now, okay? So that is, creating a little bit unease for the market. It's making people a little bit uncomfortable. But I think that, you know, by the end, I don't know if they'll sweep, but certainly the Republicans did themselves no favors by shunning Trump and running away from him, okay? Even if you didn't think he was going to win, and even if you didn't want to vote for him, okay, you should have supported him because he is your candidate. He did win. He won fair and square. And now you're risking, think about what you just risked by pulling away. You're risking probably 3 to 4 Supreme Court justices. You're risking losing the House, the Senate, and the presidency. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm no politician, but that doesn't sound like very smart to me, okay? To me, that sounds pretty dumb, okay? That should be a reason not to vote for them to begin with. Now, of course, I will vote for them, but, I mean, that sounds pretty dumb to begin with. I mean, why would you do something as ridiculous as that and desert your party, even if you hated the guy? What difference does it make? Get elected and then worry about it, right? Now, you've opened the door, potentially, okay, for a sweep by the Democratic Party. And again, I'm just saying that there is no benefit to having all of one party. There's too much control. There's too many things that can go on. And there's too much funny business going on. Just think about that. I mean, again, so, you know, hopefully it'll all work out. And I can tell you that Wall Street hopes that Hillary wins and that the Republicans keep the House and the Senate. That's what they're hoping. Then everything stays the status quo. But we'll see how that plays out. We're coming down to the wire. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, but make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to stop out here for a break. the Bubba Show. And is before we go, one more thing. Tomorrow we have the last hedging class for 2016 is starting. And I'm just telling you, listen, you know me. Go check it out. That's all I can tell you. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bob Horse. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, it is surprising that the banks had such good earnings today. But then again, maybe it's not so surprising. You know, you look at what's going on and you look at all the manipulation, and somehow they eked out good earnings reports. And maybe they're all following the Wells Fargo model. You know, it's, again, when you lower expectations to zero, basically, it's hard not to beat them. I mean, it would be a much bigger crisis if they didn't beat earnings. And so we're not surprised by the earnings news and the beats. I mean, you know, that's to be expected. Again, the problem with the street, the problem with the business is that everybody tries to manipulate to look better. Okay. And, you know, when you want to look better, you know, you try to dress yourself up. You know, I guess they call it putting lipstick on a pig. And, you know, it's all an illusion when you really get down to it, because we know that the banks are not making money. Okay, because now, again, they're making money. Obviously, they showed a profit, but they're not making money when you look at the big picture, which is they're not generating enough revenue. And at some point, it is going to come to roost. But this is why trying to predict a market outcome just straight up is nearly an impossibility, because there is so much manipulation that goes into even the report. Okay. You know, they talk about the guidance. What are we looking for in the future? You know, as we talked about earlier, we've been looking for that second half recovery forever. So now, you know, you're getting these artificial numbers. But if you remember the banks have been, you know, fairly beaten down and have not really participated in this overall rally anyways. So it's not a surprise, you know, if you look at, you know, any one of them. I mean, we know JP Morgan's been down, A, because of some issues, and B, because, you know, they've been down. But if you look back, you know, over the past 12 months, the banks are just now reaching the upper levels of their range over the last 12 months, whereas, you know, the overall markets are significantly higher. And I think that's something that you have to, you know, take into consideration. You know, we've, if we go back in time, for example, you know, the S&P is up, let's say, 5% since a year ago or so, and the banks are, some are just about even, some are getting closer to, you know, to making moves. But, you know, again, this is, goes to the expectation. In fact, you know, Morgan Stanley is still down, you know, 15%. So it's just showing you that you can do any kind of manipulation that you want. You can do any kind of dress-up game that you want. But at the end of the day, it comes down to where we are, what's the opportunity, and are they going to make money? So, yes, they're higher, and the earnings are good, but are they really higher, and are the earnings really any good? And I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that this is just, again, you'll notice how the timing of this whole thing plays out. And that is, we are timing into a market now that is rallying because, well, maybe because we've been down for the last few days. You know, maybe, you know, I mean, if you look at the overall markets themselves, they came down to a support area yesterday and rallied, which we would not be surprised. We are not surprised. Because we actually predicted that there would be a rally most likely off of that level. So now when we look, we go, okay, so 2120 was the rally that held, okay, and not surprising. And now, you know, the next level below is 2090. Now, the SPX actually closed yesterday, you know, like 15 points off of its low, but 12 points off of our support level. And, you know, so now they're higher again. But again, these are very common types of moves. When you look at it from that perspective, you know, we have to just understand this is how the market works, right? So now we're getting out some news, and it's positive news based on what's expected. But, you know, when you expect nothing and you get something, it charges up investors. Now, remember, investors are dying for places to go to, and they're grasping at straws to take on anything. And that becomes the overall bigger problem, that when you see these things start to happen, you know, again, it's no surprise. I mean, I didn't expect to see a debacle or a disaster. But certainly, I would be very surprised if we made another new high anytime soon. I'd be very surprised that there was any sustainable rally. I mean, I'd be surprised if we don't come in on Monday and we're not lower. Okay? You know, these markets, you know, they move based on orders and paper flow and money flow. And so I would be surprised if we didn't see some heavier selling. I'll be surprised if we don't break probably, you know, next week down below that 2090 level. So that's where it comes back to. It's always about the footprint that the market leaves. We're watching it. We look for it. We work for it. And when we find it, we're happy to, you know, trade at that footprint and move ourselves around. But, you know, don't be surprised, because, again, what is the company's benefit for manipulating earnings or to making them look better? Well, they get buyers to come in. They get money to come in. So, you know, the surprise should never be that it met expectations, okay, or beat expectations, because typically, you know, numbers are put out there, and what they call guidance is put out there. And, you know, we'll see, you know, where the real move is. This is a reactionary move off of, you know, the numbers. But I would venture to say, and I would bet on it, that these banks will be back in the crapper very shortly. And that's, excuse me, And that's only because that they're now, you know, being priced. And again, you price to perfection. You price to, you know, nothing's going on. And the entire markets are basically priced to perfection. In the meantime, you know, the bond markets continue to tell you, go scratch. We're taking rates higher. And they continue to move their way up in spite of the Fed not going to do anything. So, you know, don't get too excited about this. This is a very classic case of a bounce from weak levels based on news that will eventually, you know, come back and the real numbers will play out. But I would expect, you know, I mean, if you're going to like buy and hold something for a while, certainly the financial side would be. That's the most depressed area. But overall, you know, I think you just have to watch and play the game as the footprints show and not try to outguess, outsmart, or outthink what's going on. And certainly not to get too excited about these earnings, because these earnings are just what they are. They're earnings for a quarter. They're not great. They had beaten, reduced expectations of what they'd put out. So at the end of it, are we really going to be that enthused, you know, about that? So, you know, if I told you, you know, you're going to win $1 million and I give you, you know, more, you're, you know, you beat expectations. You know, if I told you I give you 5, you get 10, oh, you'd be thrilled. And it's just, this is the emotional state of the markets. This is how it works all the time. This is why when you're trading, when you're investing, when you're doing whatever you do, you try to have the least amount of emotion, because emotion will drive you to the poorhouse. Because when you think things are better than they are, they're not, and you end up making a move that you think you should have made that you probably really shouldn't have made. And this is always, again, this isn't a new story. This has been going on forever. Okay, and that's how markets form. We have a lot of people that jumped in now that think that things are, you know, everything is fine again. Nothing has changed, and of course, we all know that the markets have been ugly. The economy is ugly. There are troubles, but, you know, at some point, we'll see how they play. But in the meantime, you know, we're starting our new hedging class tomorrow, and I urge you to check it out, because it'll be the best investment you'll ever make. I can guarantee that. But in the meantime, go to BubbaTrading.com and check that out. And when you miss the show and you want to hear me, go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, we're going to step out of here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba. Be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Friday. And what a hell of a game in the Dodgers last night. Was funny. I was listening to the sports, and Dave Roberts, they asked him about Clayton Kershaw. 100% definitely not playing. I don't care what happens. Jeez, it's amazing. He got the save, and now he's going to play my Cubbies. Tra-la, tra-la. But, you know, when we look around at what's happening here, and you know, little things, you know, don't mean anything at the time they happen, but as we move closer, you know, for example, you know, with Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party, you know, as it looks like they may be taking a potential over the House and the Senate, you know, depending on what she looks like, that would create a little bit of uncomfort in the market. Could be the trigger that sends the market into a tailspin. And it's not because it's all Democratic. It's because everybody likes a mixed House, Senate, and President. You need one group to kind of hold the others together And it doesn't matter which side. I mean, but here, especially in this election, you know, with so many things in the Supreme Court and everything else up, that could create a major reason to be selling. You know, the possible problems in the Fed that they've created. And of course, you know, I'm not going to belabor that point today, but, you know, they've done obviously a lot of damage. And if they, you know, if everybody figures out what we already know, which is what they know, they have no idea what they're doing, then that could create some of the bigger problems. You know, what I'm looking for is obviously lower prices, a pretty pretty devastating sale in the markets, you know, to most. And again, I'm not telling you to sell. I'm not telling you to get out here. I'm not predicting the top. But I think we're pretty damn close. And I think you got to be prepared for the endings and for this market to turn over. Now, again, that's A, we have the data that we get is not supporting markets at this level. But forget about that, because, again, that doesn't really matter because the markets keep going up. I can give you all the reasons why it shouldn't, but yet it continues to do so. But I think you're starting to see, you know, potentially the final, as they say, the final curtain of what can happen. And, you know, where is it that we're going to get enough to drive higher? So, you know, you're looking for things that might turn it. Now, again, you really want to watch the overall footprint of the market. You know, you want to watch what's kind of going on. And, you know, you don't want to try to jump in or jump out too quickly. I mean, certainly if you've been riding this wave for an extended period of time, then obviously, you know, I wouldn't tell you to sell here. Just be careful and be ready to pull the trigger. But again, I warn you this, okay? Every big sell-off is always met with many big rallies, okay? You know, the short covering rallies are always the most vicious anyways. So what you look for now, okay, and, you know, if we go back, you know, into, you know, early this year, right? If we go back into when the markets were, you know, getting clobbered, you know, right after the first of the year, you know, we went down, but there was a couple of rallies that showed up ahead of time and during that. So what you really want to look for is you want to give yourself every potential opportunity to make as much as you can. And we're not talking, you know, that's not being greedy. That's allowing the markets to work for you. Okay. But then, you know, as you see, we start to slow down and maybe we start to make a lower high, you know, then you go, okay, maybe it's time to start to liquidate out. Now, again, you know, I believe that being hedged, so I don't have to make that decision, but many of you don't do that, which is fine too. So you want to look at these opportunities and you want to start to feel when they feel kind of extended, and you might look at what you own and say, okay, I'm going to watch this one a little bit closer because this looks a little tougher. Like for right now, for example, this is not a stock, but I look at oil right now and I go, oil is really, in my opinion, well overpriced where it's at here. And you've got everybody on the street talking about it's going to the moon, it's going back up, and for whatever reason. I believe that it's reached its extent, and I think it's been kind of artificially held up for many different reasons, but, you know, part's been the hurricane, part's been the missile bombings and, you know, the other things that are so a little bit fear, but yet we're not exploding. And I think you look here and, you know, if crude was one of the things that I owned, I wouldn't sell it today, but I would look for it and watch for a reason to sell it as it starts to work lower when it does, and look for that opportunity of when it is going to be an opportunity. And that's kind of how you watch the market. You kind of try to sell into strength, but strength that is actually weaker strength than it was before. Hence the lower highs. And those are things that you look for to make you more successful. You never want to panic. You never want to pull the trigger, nor do you want to give up and say, well, this is it. You know, it's over. This is as high as we're going to go. Well, we don't know how high it's going to go. What we do know is that the markets can go as long as they want. We certainly can't pick it up. But once the technical pattern changes, that will be a pretty good judge of when it's time to look and say, okay, maybe I should start, you know, thinning out my portfolio a little bit. And that's where you want to look for. That's how you want to watch, because the markets don't announce themselves. And when they do start going in the adverse direction to you, that is when you want to be ready to move and say, okay, I got to start to, you know, clean up my portfolio a little bit. Now, if you're one who likes to roll from one asset to another, I don't like that, because again, I think you're better off, you know, learning how to hedge the portfolio versus trying to figure out, well, what's the next best stock? I would just rather stay in the ones I own and never have to roll and never have to try to pick another one. Okay. It's just easier to manage. And you can continue, the beauty about the hedging model that we have, you can continue to sustain the same ones, and you use the synthetic option model to adjust around your portfolio so that you don't get hurt from the next big down trade, which we'll have again. We're going to have again. This is, you know, nothing for me to say that, you know, that we shouldn't worry, because you should always worry. Okay, there's going to be a trigger. And what it's going to be, you know, we talked a little bit before about the election, you know, if it becomes too one-sided, it could be a terrorist attack. Any number of things could bring it down. But, you know, just ask the farmers, ask the cattle traders, okay, or ask the grain traders, the grain owners, you know, if they ever thought that they'd see these prices, you know, and that is what happens. You see, that the trigger is people keep stepping in to buy because we know that it's going to go back up. And for some reason, it doesn't. And we keep trying to figure out where the bottom is. And, of course, we never find the bottom. So the easiest way to do it, the best way to do it, is to manage. And then when you start to see the chart pattern turning over, in other words, you see lower highs, lower lows, now it's time to start to liquidate out and move on if you're not going to be using the hedge model. And, you know, it's very mathematic, it's very scientific, and it should be very unemotional for you to do this, because you're in this business for one reason. Okay, you're investing in all of your portfolios for one reason. That is to have money for later on in life. That's why you're investing. So, you know, watch your investments closely, and don't let people convince you otherwise. Okay, the markets are going to do what the markets are going to do, but at some point here now, mathematically, they are going to sell off. Okay. You know, don't get involved with they're going down to zero and, you know, all the panic. This is just straight up math. They're going to sell off. But, you know, just keep your powder dry and be ready to go. And, you know, have a great weekend. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And again, we are having our last hedging class of the year starting tomorrow. You can check it out at BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, Liberty Talk .fm will get you the download of the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, enjoy the baseball this weekend. Enjoy the football. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. And we will see you back here on Monday. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you Monday.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.